Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I am Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Patricia Love back as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about her book, Seen and Unheard, and find out how to flip your I can't into an I can do it. Welcome, Patricia.
Well, thank you so much. It's just an honor that you're having me back. I just really appreciate it, and I love your show. So I'm excited to be here.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, you know, I have to say that I had so much fun talking with you last time when you were on September 9th, 2020. So it was 09-09-2020. I mean, what a date, right? You know,
I love just, that.
Yeah, I do too. And that particular day, I mean, we were dealing, well, still are dealing with the pandemic. And then
right.
at the time, we were also dealing with smoke, and it was so gloomy out. And oh my gosh! But you know, talking with you that day on the show was just so awesome. It was so much fun. It was so healing. And I loved what you talked about I can, I choose to, I get to. And I'd like to start the show out, in case people haven't heard that other show, a little bit with the I can, I choose to, I get to, because I think that is something that is so powerful.
Absolutely. You know, and again, thanks for having me on, because I enjoy being on your show because I like to always feel, first off, that I'm full of music on a daily basis. So I like to believe in that and live in a really frequency of high music. But this started on that. You know, it's all about words, and I'm really big on words, as far as what you say really changes how you think and you feel. So by using the word I can on a regular basis and making it more of a habit, I start to really believe I can do this. And you have to keep using these things and creating different habits and using the words, because if you don't, you just kind of fall back into negativity. I use the word I get to because of the words I get to, because it's something that when you say I get to do something, it really kind of makes you feel grateful. It makes you feel like, you know, not everybody gets to go to have a job. Not everybody gets to have food on their table. Not everybody gets to have a roof over their head. So you have to really look at the words you are choosing, and it really makes a difference in your life. But you have to become aware of that. And the last, which is choose or choice, I use that probably, gosh, every day and everything I do, because I like to feel that I'm choosing to do something. It's almost like I'm choosing to say I get to, because it puts you in control of your thoughts, and it makes you more confident in yourself and in the world around you when you start using words like choose. So really, words are so important, and what you say not only to yourself but to other people.
Exactly, what you say, and also how you say it, and how you say it partly being the words that you choose and the tone
exactly.
of voice. Yeah, I mean, all of it, it's so true. And it gets back to realizing that we do have choices. We talked a little bit last time also about what I call the circle of control that I wrote about in my book, and how I'm constantly, during this pandemic year, and the election, and all the other things that have happened during
right,
the time
right.
since last year when the pandemic started, is circle of control, get back into what I can control. and that's what it is. I can, I choose to, I get to. Thinking about the things that we're grateful for, all the things that are right in our life, instead of all the things that we wish could be better or different.
If we go down that of the negative words, or like, you know, the woe's me and the why me and whatever, but if you start looking at the good things in your life, and that doesn't have to be big things, because people say, well, I don't have any good. Yes, you do. You're breathing. That's a good day. You're breathing. And people really start looking for the small things. People have a tendency to always look at the really big pictures and the big things, and they, and it's almost overwhelming for them, and so they don't really relate to it. What if they can really relate to, I have food today. Gosh, somebody else doesn't get to have that.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up today. Not everybody gets to wake up. I've had friends that have not woken up. So
right.
You just really have to think about those things and it making, you know, becoming more aware. And that's really taking the time to listen to what you say and listen to what you do in the each moment. And it's always interesting when you start listening to yourself, what you hear yourself saying, and then you're like, you know what, maybe I should change my thoughts a slight bit here because they aren't as positive as I think. They're not as positive as I think they are. You know, and it's just being
right.
aware of what you're doing and what you're saying and how you're and how you feel every day too. But it makes a difference, and it the words you say can create a really good day versus a bad day.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And one of your posters in the slideshow says, start your day with a positive mindset. And I think that's actually what it's referring to, you know, is I'm going to start my day with a positive mindset, thinking about what I'm grateful for, what I'm thankful for, what I appreciate, who I appreciate having in my life, what I get to do, you know,
yeah,
all of those things.
It's just waking up. First off, just gratefully woke up because, you know, we start to get to an age and you're like, oh, I'm glad I woke up today, you know, and it's just, and even if it's kind of a smirky little joke, it puts it in a nicer flair. And rather than just waking up like, oh, I got to get up. No, it changes your whole frequency. And I'm really big on also, you know, frequency of how you think, because we are all energy. And
right.
we just want to live at a little bit at a higher frequency. And if you think about it, and I can kind of talk about it according to music a little bit, is music has its own frequencies. Music, when you have like a James Brown, like I Feel Good, that makes you feel
mm-hmm.
good and you're all hyped up. Or if you have a quieter one, it's more romantic. So there's just different feelings. And you want to try and kind of make that frequency go higher up, because when you're in a height of happiness or joy, you
mm-hmm.
do better. You have more opportunities. Everything looks better when you're dealing and you're working in a higher frequency of energy. So it's important, but it all breaks down to the words you use and the thoughts you're thinking, and it starts when waking up in a good way.
Well, you know, when you've been saying that, two things came to mind for me. One is Tony Robbins talking about a guy in one of his seminars one time. Well, two guys. One guy had this whole list of all these things that had to be perfect for him to feel like he was successful. And then
mm-hmm.
this other guy, and so he didn't feel successful at all because he, you know, couldn't meet all those rules of what had to happen, even though he was, by everybody else's standards, mega successful. This other guy, he asked him what his rules were for knowing he was feeling successful. And he says, any day above ground.
<You
know? laughs> And the guy was successful,
too.
True. I mean, some people just take that for granted, though. And I mean, it's like none of us know how long we get to be here on the planet. Every day could be any of our last days, you know, and life can change in an instant. And so it's so,
yes.
so important. My mom, I love her so much. She's been an angel since 2006, but she still talks to me all the time. She had the misfortune of her parents leaving to go to a wedding on an airplane when she was 14 years old, and they were in a crash and never came back.
Oh,
so she
yeah.
always, yeah, and her younger sister was like about 2 years younger, her brother was about a year and a half older, and they ended up going to live with their grandma, who was a wonderful person. But she always told us, always be kind to people because you never know when you might lose them, you know, and to not take people for granted and to spend time with them, N-O-W, now. Because, even if it's on Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you anymore. I mean, it's so important. And the biggest issue is that people kind of hate that word, death, dying. They, you know, they hate to think about it. But, you know, in reality, we must think about it, because if you can think about it, you will actually appreciate life so much more. if you just bring it in, because it's inevitable, you know, it's inevitable to all of us.
Well, you know, back to words and choices of words, and I love that Abraham Hicks calls it making a transition, and they say that there is no such thing as death, and
well,
that we live on.
Like
it's just
that,
we live on as a non-physical being, and I love that idea. That makes me feel so much better. Whether it's true or not, it's empowering to me. So,
well,
you know,
if it makes you feel good, that's what's important, and that's, you know, and I love that transitioning, and I think that's a great word, and I think people could relate and understand that better. But I think we just need to understand that we might transition at any time.
Exactly.
And
that's my point. Is you don't have to use the word death. You can just say, you know, any of us could transition any time, and let's appreciate each other while we can right now.
Absolutely. So, I couldn't agree with you more on that one. It's so important. So it's just important to live each day, because we just don't know. We just don't know. And if you live each day in a really happy place as much as possible, obviously, I mean, we all have good days and bad days. Nothing is perfect, right? You are also going to see so many more doors opening and opportunities happening when you live in a more of a happy feeling or a positive feeling. It's scientific. I mean, if you look at different go Google or whatever, you will see that it's a known fact that scientifically, if you live in a more positive way, things happen and things do better. And for a good example, I mean, how many times have you walked into a room and you're just not feeling it, right? And everybody else feels your energy. And so nobody really wants to talk to you because, you know, like, I'm not going to talk to her. I've got bad energy. This is not good, you know. But if you walk into that same room with a different attitude and a happier feeling and a smile on your face, things open up. Life opens up. And, you know, we're here on this world to enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, and I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, you can walk into a room and you can feel the vibes, as Sonia Choquette loves to say. You can just feel the vibes of who's happy and who's positive and who's upset and who's hateful or angry or whatever. You can definitely feel that. I don't think you have to be totally a psychic or empath or whatever in order to feel. I think most of us, if we just take the time, can realize, ooh, this doesn't feel good.
Exactly. We've actually walked into several rooms with different people and different who have different thoughts on living and different things. And I've heard people say, like, "Ooh, this room doesn't have a very good energy," you know. And it's like it automatically even comes out of their mouth, and they don't even actually realize what they're saying. But it's a feeling, and it is.
Yeah.
We're all energetic bodies, people need to kind of heed that. And take note of that. If you're feeling it with other people, well, then they can feel yours.
Exactly.
So,
I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's important. Yeah.
I don't know. I've always been interested in the differences in people and what makes people happy or not happy and successful or not successful. And to me, success, a lot of it has to do with being happy. Really,
totally.
And enjoying your
life.
To me, I mean, when I say feel successful and celebrate your success, enjoy the journey and celebrate your success on the tagline of my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, I'm talking about enjoying each day as much as you can and about just looking for what you can appreciate each day. I have had some challenging days, definitely. My husband and I both have during this last year. It's not that we don't have them. It's just that we know how to work our way back up the scale a lot more quickly.
Exactly.
You know?
It's
so
true.
Because we wouldn't be human if we never felt depressed or sad or angry or anything, any of the lower frustration, overwhelm, oh my gosh, going up the scale here, you know, up to
we have to be real. We're all human. We do humanistic things. We make mistakes, and we have feelings. That's why there are so many different feelings, and it's just a matter of how you work with those feelings. And then it's like grief. If somebody passes or something happens or somebody hurts yourself, you want to grieve. You want to always take those times to grieve, to do that. You want to, and then also do the same thing with happiness and joy. You want to really be joyful and happiness, but feel those feelings. And it makes people feel vulnerable, but it also makes you human. And
exactly.
It's important
yeah.
that we don't ignore those feelings, because that's where people have problems, is they're being ignored. And that's one of the reasons
right.
I wrote my book, is, you know.
Yeah, speaking of that, tell us a little bit about your book. I love the cover, by the way. I've worked in my husband's graphic design business since 1985 is when I started doing it part-time. And so that's still a major part of what we do, is graphic design and photography. And
uh-huh.
also we do music and singing and all those other things. But, yeah, when I say I love it, I have. I really do. I mean, I love that Herd is so huge on it. I love the scene and then the un being in parentheses. Unheard.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because that was my thoughts and my ideas. The red lipstick is all part of it, because I've always wore bright red lipstick, and back in the day I would wear it to kind of be the kind of a cover up and masking myself and becoming a different person, and that's what I talk about in the book a bit. But that was important, but I've always was being kind of unheard and shushed a little bit as a little girl. And so it was just an automatic thing of putting the finger on the above the lips, like, you know, keep quiet. And so
mm-hmm.
yeah, so thank you very much. It was kind of a labor of love, at least within my head. And I had somebody else do it, but I had it was definitely what I envisioned. So thank you so much for the compliment. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's not just a compliment, though. It's just, the thing is, I've found over the years that the best designs are where the person has ideas that they can communicate to you, not just go, well, you're the expert, you figure something out. And then they go,
right.
No, that's not it. But the ones who have
yeah.
creative ideas, and they say, this is why I want it, this is what I want it to feel like and look like and sound like and whatever, you know, then you have somewhere to go from, and then you can give them an example, and then you can tweak it back and forth, because, I mean, that's the reality of it, is that it can go so many different directions.
Oh, it totally can, and I just had this kind of vision in my head of what, and again, it's because the book is really a memoir of my life, and mostly growing up and how things formed when you're young, and how it affects you in your adult lives. And so behaviors are not always good behaviors. And so for me, I wanted to have a cover that really kind of reflected that as a young adult that had grown, but I was seen, but I was really never heard. Because I'm really big on really having women's voices be heard now, because they're so important, that then so many women feel that they're unheard or they're not heard, and they should always be equally heard. And it's not the voice of, you know, trying to be the one that stands out screaming, you know, or whatever, like, you know, like yelling and screaming type of voice. Because some
mm-hmm.
people and women have a tendency to think, well, I don't want to be overbearing. You know, I don't want to be the big B. Like, no, that's not what I'm speaking of. It's more of, I want to be equal. I want to have my voice equally heard, because I have just as many good things to say as you do. And I have
mm-hmm.
a right to be heard. So that's kind of where it's kind of stemmed from. And the book itself, like I mentioned, it stems from me growing up in a very it's abandonment, but loneliness, where my father was unemotionally available and my mother was an alcoholic. So when I was, there were so many years between my siblings and myself that I was pretty much an only child. So I kind of grew up alone. And when you grow up in that kind of atmosphere, you have a tendency, because your feelings get ignored, you kind of build a wall around you to survive. And then one of the other things that you do is that you grow up, when you're feeling ignored, your feelings, like, you feel like you don't matter. And then the last
wow.
thing I always like to say is that when you grow up in this way, when people aren't listening to you at all, then you feel that you're flawed and that there's something wrong with you. And so a lot of little girls and little boys too, but I'm speaking mostly to little girls, the inner child within us, you might say, that they, if they feel this way, it's not abnormal, because you can grow up with a some money, because I grew up in a middle-class family with a roof over your head and everything and food to eat, but still feel ignored and unwanted. And so it's kind of like it's not the physical abuse you find where it's you people see it and that it's a mental abuse that people don't always understand or look at as in depth as much. And then they wonder, well, hey, you grew up in a middle class and you know, they all think you're charmed, you know, you grew up in a charmed life. And in reality, everything that happened in my youth affected my adulthood and how I took on life and how I took on relationships, how I took on finances, so many different things. So it's the inner child is important to, or the inner little girl is important to look at and look and see how she grew up and how she managed to stay safe. And then you kind of end up growing up and forgiving that, letting know that little girl is she's still safe now, because the little girl is in all of us. That little girl.
Or a little boy. Yeah,
up.
Like you said, or a little,
or a little boy.
But, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
It,
totally.
It creeps up and you wonder why, you know, you're scared or you're fearful and you have lack of confidence. Well, if you look back, it could be that bullying that back in, you know, in third grade, or somebody telling you to be quiet, you're supposed to just sit and look pretty, don't speak. Things like this that affect you and how you deal with relationships and life as you grow up. So, but you need to listen to that inner little girl and little boy and acknowledge them. And this is what my book is about, is really acknowledging them. It's me telling my stories, but I'm hoping that my stories will be a reflection when they read it, like, oh, I can relate to that, but maybe in a different way. So
mm-hmm.
It's, again, it's my stories, but I think a lot of people will kind of relate to some of the stories and then reflect on them and say, you know what, I need to maybe pay attention to that little girl, little boy a little bit more and tell her she's okay, that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing I was thinking about, though, when you were saying that, is that it's not just people that grow up in middle class. I mean, in super rich families, a lot of times especially told children are to be seen and not heard. And, you know, possibly even in ones that have almost no money because they're so busy, they might feel abandoned and unheard.
It's anywhere. It's anybody. Yeah. It's anybody. It's all walks of life. It's all. And here's the thing is, and as you learn, as I learned throughout this writings and growing up and things that happened to me and how I live my life now, is that they had their own story. Their parents had their own stories. And we need to understand that you can't necessarily blame them because they didn't know any better.
Right, exactly.
They did what they knew. And so it's always important to kind of look at that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what I chat about a little bit. But you're right. Any walk of life, it doesn't matter. Person can feel abandoned. It can be addiction in the family. It can be all kinds of different things that make you feel alone. And but when you do, it's interesting. As a little girl, you grow up and you don't know any different. You just think that that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways.
I mean,
and then when you get to grow,
it makes sense that people would just think, well, this is just the way it is. I mean, you and I are both kind of people that are super curious, number one. I'm sure you're that way too.
Right.
I am. And so, you know, we've always looked into, well, why should I believe that? You know, what is this true? And done a lot of research, and that's part of why we do coaching, because we want people to feel heard and we want them to feel good about their inner being and their little kid that's still in there. And I can see where your coaching clients would feel so comfortable being able to talk to you because you want them to be seen and heard and help them not feel that unheard feeling.
Exactly. So. And it's so prevalent right now. And I've noticing in my clients that there is a voice within that they've felt just so unconfident in speaking up. They just never felt equal in relationships. And a lot of it, again, it stemmed from society, but also how you grew up. So everybody will have their own story of why, but every one of those stories is important. Every one of those, no matter how big, no matter how small, it may seem to you it's really big to that person, and it has affected them. So you have to really listen and understand that we all have our stories. Some are deeper than others. Some are worse than others. Some are, but it's still your story, and it affects you. And
you know,
everybody's
the other
important
thing too is that you can flip the story. That was part of what you, I think we were talking about a little bit before too, about flipping the I can't to I can, and
yes,
starting to look at things in new ways and rewrite parts of your story. Even as far as going back in your life and going, like you said, rewriting the story, going, well, my parents were doing what they, the only thing they knew how to do. I mean, so am I going to feel bad about this aspect of me forever because they were doing the best they can do? No. I mean,
well,
I remember Louise Hay talking about that too, you know. I mean, you just have to realize they, people do the best they know how, and if they don't know any better, they can't do any better. And yeah, so.
Well, that's so true. And so you can, anybody at any time, at any moment can rewrite their story. It's, again, that they have to choose to. They can choose to turn that I can't do this anymore into I can do this. And it, you can do it at any moment. And any moment is a good moment to start because it's the the new moment.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
you're not going to
exactly.
get the old moment. You're not going to get the old moment back. But that's okay because I can start right this minute. And you can change that. Well, my hopes is to help people. And you're coaching too. We always want to help and support people before they go into crises, right?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, but it doesn't always happen. Like for my in my circumstances, I ended up having to go into crisis, and there was no other way than to change my life. You know, but
yeah, sometimes people have to hit the bottom before they want to. They go, okay, that's it. I'm at threshold. It's got to change.
Exactly. And everybody's bottom's a little different. But it's important. It's no good or bad. But, you know, it's yes, you can change your story. You can rewrite your story. You can change your journey. And you can do it. And I really want to make sure this is important at any time. I did mine in my 50s. I changed my story in my 50s. And, it doesn't matter your race, your gender, your color. You can change your story. You just have to choose to do it and start. That's the other key thing is you must start and acknowledge that that's what you want to do. And so, yeah, I have in the book, I go things that I now teach, but it's really vitally important that people just understand that if you want to change right this minute, you can. You just have to start using that word. I can do this.
Yeah,
I get
I
to do it. Actually,
and I get
word
to.
I get to do it. I get to change. And when you actually use that word, I get to, see how the difference it even sounds? Like, I can do this. I get to change. I get to change my story. I mean, there's something
about
that propels you.
Yeah, think about the difference between saying, I have to, which probably a lot of people say, and I say it sometimes myself, too. I have to go here, or I have to get this done, instead of, I get to go there, I get to get this done, you know,
I get
or
to
I have
store.
To change,
I get to,
versus
I get
to change.
I get to fold my clothes. You know, not some people don't even get to fold their clothes because they don't have a laundry. You know, so they only have, so it's, that get to is really it's so important, the words we use, the words we choose. It really converts our can'ts into I can. But we have to be willing and decide to make that change and then just start. Is it easy? No, nothing is easy. And we were talking before the show about habits, right? That, you know, we just have to start today and then take a baby step and do it again tomorrow. If you're losing weight, you're changing your habits, you're trying to make your bed in a different way, you have to just try it a different, you know, every day is a congratulatory day, is a celebration day. Pretty soon you'll get to 30 days or 45 days, and you've created a new habit. And then it becomes natural. It's like brushing your hair, brushing your teeth. It's natural now, right? But when you were a kid, it wasn't natural. It was like you had to create that habit. Your mom made you make the habit or whatever it might be. But it's so important to just do one day at a time and celebrate that. When you get through it, celebrate it. I do a quick dance sometimes, like, oh, yes, I did that. I'm so proud of myself. And I might do a little skip or, like,
yeah,
look
the
at the
happy
cat
dance.
And say, oh, a happy dance, you know, because it makes you feel good, and it makes me feel confident, and it makes you want to do it again tomorrow. So
right,
it's
exactly.
Really doing, you know, it's propelling yourself forward every moment, because I love and want to live in a higher frequency every day, if whenever possible.
Oh, me too. Me too. You know, a story came to mind when you were talking about getting up and saying, oh, I get to get up, you know, that sort of thing. And I remember
right.
years and years ago, I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was like just around the time that I was turning 40 or just before or something like that, just after. But a friend of mine had written a song that has in it, Rise and Shine, Start It Up Brand New. The title of the song is actually not anything like that, so you wouldn't think it from the title of the song, but I would hear that part of the song going, Rise and Shine, Start It Up Brand New. So how I was saying it to myself versus, oh, no, I have to get up. I've got all these things to do. Oh, my gosh, I want to sleep some more. Let's pull the covers up, you know. And so it's like, you know, I would think, oh, I get to get up. I get to do this.
Yes.
I get to go write my morning pages. I get to have some time to ease on into the day and to meditate for 15 minutes. We talked about meditation last time
yes.
as well. And I loved your word that you came up with, quietude.
Quietation, yes.
Or quietation, yeah, okay, anyway,
yes.
but yeah. So yeah, maybe
because,
talk
well,
about that.
Well, I use that word. Yes, absolutely. Well, first off, meditation, I remember, and this is why I had to change the word. I had to change this word for myself, okay? Because meditation for me, you know, I've always liked it or it was interested in it. It's like you said, curious about things. I'm like, oh, I can meditate for half an hour and then like whatever. So I try to get into this meditation and do with the fingers and cross my legs, like the yoga thing. And I'd sit there for like, well, this isn't working. I can't meditate. So it would be like this whole thing in my head that like this meditation had to be so quiet, almost like I had to be a monk of some sort. And I felt that
right.
that just wasn't possible, right? So I said, I got to change this word to make it more comfortable for me. And so when I've learned, when I said, I just think I want to quiet down. And if I learn to quiet myself, maybe things will start to flow. And that's where the whole quietation came up. It's like, I'm going to call this quietation because that's, I just want to be quiet for 3 minutes. And then if I can stay quiet for 3 minutes, maybe I can stay quiet for 10 minutes. Who knows? But I'm not going to put a timeline on it. Because some women and men, you know, they have several children, they just need a quiet time of 20 seconds sometimes when they go into the bathroom. And
exactly.
And letting them know that, you know what, 20 seconds may not seem like a lot, but it's amazing what you can get done in 20 seconds if you just intentionally take that 20 seconds. Because you can do a 21-second breathing exercise and just and really de-stress yourself and then move forward into the next thing. But it's just, and then the more you do it, the more you like it. So then the more you make time for it.
Exactly.
Because we don't
yeah.
make time for things because we don't think it's necessary. But when we try it, we like it. Isn't it amazing when you want to go on vacation?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got all these podcasts. You have all these things to do. But somehow you drive out that 1 week. You figure it out. You make sure you go because it's important to you. So when
right.
you really make a decision that you want to have some quiet time with yourself, then you will make time for it. Just like anything else in life. If you want it, you will make time for it.
Yes, definitely. Well, you know, I wanted to say, I was thinking about while you were saying that about the 20 seconds or 30 seconds of quiet. And I remember when I first tried, we talked about this before, I think, but when I first tried meditation the first time back in 2005, oh my gosh, it's been a while ago, it was because Abraham Hicks had talked about just closing your eyes and breathing, setting a timer first for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And just breathe and just let, if thoughts come, just let it go. And I was like you. I didn't want to try meditation. I liked being able to see things. I didn't want to miss a few of the things I could have been seeing while my eyes were closed.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. But I thought, okay, they told us this makes you feel so good. I just want to try it. In my robe, my pajamas, my robe, my slippers, with my feet up on the sofa, leaning back and just breathing. And it felt so good. The idea of whether it doesn't have to be 15 minutes, but like you said, even if you're feeling overwhelmed, and if you're not driving right now, try this. Close your eyes and just breathe. And you can breathe while you're listening to us. But the thing is that just closing your eyes, some of that sensory overload that we get on all day, every day.
And we're in a sensory overload with so much social media and so much going on in this world right now. I mean, I think a lot of people have really lost the music in their souls, you might say. Because
I agree.
And breathing can put that music back into your soul. I tell you, when I say breathing, you know, we all breathe, right? But when you intentionally sit down and actually just, and you can even do this while you're driving, because I do this and I don't close my eyes, but really,
not
breathing
the closing
in, you know, yeah, that would be a bad thing. Breathing in for like 7 seconds and then holding it tight for 7 seconds. And you can do this at a stoplight, which is so great. And then blowing it out for like 7 to 10 seconds brings your blood pressure down. It brings everything down. And you can do that 2 or 3 times, and that's like 21 seconds. And it will change how you think about things. It'll change your thought process. So like if you get angry, it's a great way to change your anger thoughts. Because I know that a long time ago I would not a hothead, but I would, you know, like just get angry, you know, I might get a little upset, you know? And so instead I would pause. I just made the decision not just pause, because you know, when you don't, you'll say something you don't mean. So I learned to just pause and then breathe those like 21 seconds. And then all of a sudden everything made more sense, because when you talk, when you're at a high anger, things don't always work out the way you want them to.
Yeah, exactly. They don't.
No, I get that.
Well, I think that even if people only take away 1 or 2 items of what we've talked about today, they can smile more, they can have a better life. And, you know, I just absolutely love that you have I think it's a quote or a reminder at the end of your emails that says,
go out and make somebody smile.
Yeah, go out and make somebody smile. I love that. And it's so funny because we were talking about music and the music in your soul and so on and so forth. And my husband and I both really love that song Happy by Pharrell Williams, you know,
because
it does make you feel happy and it makes you want to do the happy dance. And so he was saying, I really would like to write a song of that type that can make people feel better. And so he got the idea to call the song Smile. And we just recently recorded it. We haven't released it as a to buy yet, because that aspect's harder to get into. But I did play it during the last show that I did with my husband, and it does. It makes you smile. The song makes you smile. When we perform it for West Coast songwriters, people smile. And if you want, Patricia, I'll send you a copy of the MP3
Love that, because it's just so wonderful if we can make just one more person smile, or make yourself smile, because when you smile, you automatically want to make other people smile. And I've had a couple people say, well, how can you make people smile because they're wearing masks? I said, you know what? They see your eyes.
You
and
can
your
see
eyes.
It.
When you
yeah,
smile,
you
when you smile, your eyes smile. And I do this all the time when I'm walking, and it makes people feel better, because right now we're not connected the way we want to. But when you smile at somebody, it makes them feel like they're wanted and they're heard, you might say, even though you're walking by.
It does that. And the first part of the song, it just says, all you have to do is turn up your lips.
I love that.
Oh, you're going to love the lyrics, you know, and there's a couple of giggles we left in the recording because of it. And, you know, part of it goes, sometimes the giggle slips out of the grin, proves you don't know how much trouble you're in.
Oh, my God, that's so cute. I love it. I can hardly wait to hear it. Oh, my gosh, that's going to be wonderful. You know what? If we can put just a little bit more happiness into people's lives now and today and tomorrow, it's every little bit helps. you know, just one thing at a time, you know, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, one person at a time.
Yeah. I remember Louise Hay having a card that quote that said, "The greatest gift I can give is my unconditional love." I think it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, is to the more we can give love, the more we can give smiles, the more we can put some positive energy out there and some ideas of easy to, well, not easy, but simple things that you can do that can help
you feel happier.
There's
so many simple things you can do. And just a quick example, I was in a store the other day, and there was a lady in a walker, like a little walker. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't as tall, but I could tell because I became aware. And, again, this is when you start being aware of things. Aware that she was looking at the yogurt that was just a little higher than she could get to. And
mm-hmm.
you could see that she wanted help but was afraid to ask for help. So I immediately just walked and said, "Hey, I'm going to get myself some yogurt. Do you want a yogurt too?" And she says, "Oh, yes, that would be so nice." So it made her feel good, but it didn't make her feel like she was a person in a walker, you know?
Right.
He said, "I'm getting some too. Let me get you yours too while I'm here." And she just was happy, and it made her smile. And it's the little things like that, that just being aware and doing things for people, especially right now. We all need the love. We all need to show a little bit of kindness to people because right now with the people are passing people by and they're scared to talk to anybody because they're going to get something, you know. And
right.
So we just still need to be kind. No matter, we have to be kind at 6 feet apart. We can still do it.
Yes. Exactly. You know, we only have 3 minutes left. I knew this time was going to fly by.
3 minutes left?
Yes. We only have 3 minutes left. And I wanted to say that people can find out more about you and your book, which isn't out yet, but it's coming soon, at patricialove.com. And
correct.
I also love that your last name really is Love. My husband, when I had you on before, he's like, "Is that really her last name?"
You know, I have to, it's so funny, I always have to tell people, yes, it is my last name. When I do speaking engagements, the first thing people ask, or the second question, it might be, "Is that your real name?" And I always say, yes, and I actually love it. I'm very thrilled and happy about it. Now, when I was younger, I would have to say, probably wasn't as delighted with it, because when you're a teenager, and also when I was a flight attendant for a while,
mm-hmm.
my last name was P.M. Love. Said PM, and so people go, "Well, how are you in the nighttime, or how's the daytime, or how's the night?" You know, so it would always make jokes about it. But now I wouldn't change it for the world. So
I agree. Okay, we got 2 minutes left. Something quick. What do you want to leave people with?
Gosh, you know, I really want everybody to know that you do have a voice. There's a lot of women out there that really do want to be seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that you realize that people are listening. You're not the only one. You have a story. I know there's that want to listen to your story. They want to hear your story. So don't be afraid. Have the confidence and just do it. We need you because you're bringing a gift to this world. And everybody's waiting to unwrap that gift. And so we're just waiting for it.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you are living your music in such a variety of ways, Patricia. And
thank you.
Your book being a new one. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting that as well. And
yes. Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited that I was able to get back on your show. You are lovely and wonderful, and I love the music that it just exudes from you. And because I'm a big music person, I love to hang around people that feel the music.
Awesome. Well, everyone out there, live your music, all of it, all of the different ways that you feel called to live your music. Please do that, and please share this show with your friends and family members, and let's all do it. Let's live our music. Oh, Patricia, thank you again for being back on my show, and thank you for all of the positive energy that you put out and all the times you've made me smile during this show, actually.
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Patricia.
Bye-bye. Take care.
You too. Bye.